Christmas is rapidly approaching. And even though there's a lot that's different this year because of the pandemic, our hearts should be joyfully anticipating the coming of the Lord, especially in these last days of Advent. The joy, the spiritual joy, should continue to grow. There's either a kind of cosmic, there's cosmic evidence of this growing joy. I don't know if you pay attention to these things, but today is the solstice, the winter solstice, the shortest day and longest night of the year, meaning from now on, days will start to get longer again, night will get shorter again. It's not that evident here in the Philippines because we're closer to the equator, but if you're farther from the equator, the length of days, the change in the length of days is noticeable. Then there's this conjunction of the two planets. Have you heard about this? Jupiter and Saturn are visible in the evening in the southwest out here. And today they will be very so close together that they, according to the astronomers, they look like one planet. So the secular press is calling it the Christmas star. So if there's no clouds tonight, at about 7 o'clock, look out in the southwest and see if you can see the Christmas star. Of course, it's not a star, it's two planets, but it is very bright and noticeable. Even today's first reading gave indication of some physical phenomena that are signs of the joy that should be in the heart of the church. The arrival of the lover, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. It's a signs of something beautiful and new and joyful. But the heart of today's liturgy is the encounter between Mary and Elizabeth, what we usually refer to as the Visitation, second joyful mystery. So yesterday's gospel was the Annunciation, first joyful mystery. Today, Visitation, second joyful mystery. And this is one of those mysteries that we can return to again and again and again and keep getting more out of it. It's a short passage. It seems like a simple enough meeting of two women, but there is so much here that it's an inexhaustible source for our pondering. We can start with Mary's own experience. If we would love to have more description of what was really going on, but the gospel passages are quite condensed. They only give us what we really need to know. They don't give us all the details. It says here, Mary set out in those days and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah. Well, here's a young woman. They say she might have been 15 years old, living in her parents' house. She receives the message from the angel that she's going to be mother of the Messiah. What could be going through her mind? And then she hears the news from the same angel that her relative, Elizabeth, has conceived and she's already 6 months pregnant. What was Mary experiencing? Even physically, did she have a physical awareness of being pregnant? I know a lot of women, they don't know that they're pregnant in the beginning. They don't know. It's not that obvious in the first few weeks or month, although sometimes people start to get nauseous. I don't know if that happened to Mary. So physically we don't know if she had any signs. Maybe she did, because she was, of course, free from sin, and she was pregnant with God. So it might not follow the pattern, exact pattern that pregnancy follows when it comes to the physical experience, but even more profoundly, what was her spiritual experience? Knowing that she was chosen as the mother of the Messiah and that role had already begun. The Word became flesh. Now, she couldn't have said the Word became flesh. She couldn't have put it in those terms, but she must have in her spirit had a profound sense of the presence of God, maybe overwhelming sense of the presence of God, even while she was doing ordinary things. This is the way it is with the spiritual life. We have to go through our life, do our household chores, go to bed, get up, bathe, eat, shop or whatever, cook. Those things don't change, but the inner experience does change. And Mary was carrying the Son of God. She was Mother of God. Whatever she could have had in her mind, this was in her spirit the most dominant thing. And then she goes off to the hill country of Judah. Well, did she tell anybody? What did she say? She must have told her parents. Did she travel with anyone? How did she travel? How long did it take? What did she tell them? That Elizabeth was pregnant? Everybody knew she was barren. What did she say? We don't know. We don't know what her experience was. And maybe she did tell people and they didn't believe her, or maybe she didn't tell people and they wondered what she was doing. I guess we don't have to know because it's not in the gospel. But she goes to the house of Zechariah. She enters the house, she greets Elizabeth, and then this marvelous spiritual chain reaction takes place. She greets Elizabeth, the baby in the womb leaps for joy. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she speaks out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." It's an amazing thing how Mary's presence, which is also Jesus' presence, touches John in the womb, the Holy Spirit moves, Elizabeth is the one who proclaims it. There's a kind of dynamic of celebration of the presence of God in the world now. We can identify two things going on here. There are many things, but let me just, for our purposes now, identify two. And they both have to do with love. You see, one of the dynamics of love is that we want to draw closer to our loved one. We want to focus on the one whom we love. The other dynamic is that we want to make known to the world the greatness of what we have received. So there's this keeping of love, and there's this sharing of love. Now, these are the two things I'd like to reflect on in light of Mary going to Elizabeth. When it comes to the keeping of love or treasuring of love, certainly she was doing this. God has revealed himself to me, and I want only to be at his service. I belong to him. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. So Mary is entirely given over to this love relationship with God. And she's treasuring it. She's pondering it. She's protecting it interiorly. She's carrying it. But at the same time, she knows about Elizabeth, and she can hardly contain herself. She herself is filled with divine presence and divine energy, and you can't just sit around and do nothing. It's as if I don't know what she was thinking. Was her concern mostly for Elizabeth because she's an old woman? How old is she? We don't know. We know she's past childbearing age. Was she 45? Was she 55? Was she 65? We don't know. But maybe Mary was thinking, this, my relative, should have somebody with her to help her. Or maybe she was thinking, this woman, my relative, has also been introduced to the mystery of what God is doing, and I want to share with her my experience. Now, is it treasuring my love, or is it sharing with someone else? Both. I don't know if this will help make it clear, but I'll just share a personal experience. I was out walking this morning. Again, it was raining. Seems to rain a lot these days. Anyway, There was a beautiful rainbow. Did anybody see the rainbow? It was a beautiful, bright rainbow. And I'm holding an umbrella, and it's pouring rain. And there's the rainbow. I said, this is amazing. This is really beautiful. And I stopped. In the middle of the street, I stopped. A car came. So wondered what I was doing standing in the street. Because if you don't look up at the right time, at the right place, you don't see it. And so I happened to hold my umbrella very high so that I could see the rainbow. So I don't know what the people thought. Anyway, I had these two ideas. One thing, I wanted to look at the rainbow. I wanted to see it. This is the first dynamic of love. Now we want to absorb it. We want to enter into the experience. We want to be enriched by it. I wanted to see the rainbow. It was full, end to end. You know that the Irish say that where a rainbow touches the ground, there's a pot of gold. I don't know if that's... Anyway, so I was saying, that desire to reach the end of the rainbow, the desire for the pot of gold is an expression of, we want the fullness of love. And I was reflecting on that as I was walking. You can't go to the end of the rainbow. If one end of it was over here, probably about, from my perspective in the street, about where Mangahan is. And then the other end of it was over there, a little bit to the northwest, and that was over like the other, like behind Bloomfield School over there. So here's the rainbow. And I said to myself, I could go to Mangahan and the rainbow wouldn't be there because it's not really there. And this is the way it is with love. You can't grab it. You can't hold on to it. You can't possess it, because if you do, you lose it. So if you try to reach that pot of gold, you don't get anything. Maybe in Mangahan, you couldn't even see the rainbow, for all I know. Maybe you couldn't see it. You have to be at the right place at the right time, and you have to receive what is given. You can't make it happen or control it. The other experience of love, as I said, this is Mary wanted to share this with Elizabeth. She wanted to enter into she wanted to proclaim or make known the good news. Well, I wanted to tell somebody about this rainbow. There wasn't anybody around. It was pouring rain. Nobody was out. So I'm walking around. I said, this is really frustrating. I have something to share. I don't have anyone to tell. Nobody around. Now, that's a very trite, maybe trite example, but it's an indication of what Mary had. She had something to treasure and something to share. She had the Lord within her. She brought the Lord to Elizabeth. And this is the same process that happens in the heart of the church and in the heart of every Christian. We are, as we approach Christmas, we are in the right place at the right time. We are given awareness of the presence of God. We can't grasp Him. We can't cling to Him. We can't control Him. We receive Him. That was yesterday's gospel. We receive Him. We don't understand it. We don't understand how we can be bearers of God, but we say, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done. Let it be done to me according to your word. We are recipients. We are given to treasure. The whole church is, and every Christian is. At the same time, we are sent out as evangelists. We have received something. We have something to share. Much greater than news of a rainbow or any other natural phenomenon. We have the presence of God to make known to others. And it can be a very disturbing thing to have something to give and not have anyone to give it to. St. Paul had this experience. He was, what does he say? The love of God urges us. It drives us. That's how it should be. So this is what Mary is doing. Whatever she had in her mind, her soul, her spirit was driven forward in the power of the Spirit. And that's why it was such a fruitful encounter, because God was really the one at work. So as we yield ourselves to God, as we place ourselves as handmaids of the Lord, as we allow His will to be done in us, we become instruments of His life for others. Every encounter is a kind of visitation. Because we bear God to others, they bear God to us. We are bearers of inner life. We're all pregnant. We're all pregnant. And there's a lot of hidden life that's going on. We might not even be aware of it. But in faith, we know it's so. So let us, especially as we draw close to Christmas, let us treasure this inner life. Let us be instruments of making this life available to one another, to the world.